Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off The Ball.
You want to be leading the pressing line with Zerski as your Mel Gibson, like, as your Braveheart, you know, and Spurs rattled past them.
Subscribe to the Off The Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod
on Off The Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 66 in the Racing Pod with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. The first half of the pod each week free to air, the second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to focus on Saturday's action at Navan, Kelso and Doncaster. We'll also get Johnny's charity bet. How are you, Johnny?
I've kind of been under the weather for the last week and change, but it seems like it's kind of going around. And to be honest, this weather today, JD, what you'd forget about your troubles, it's absolutely gorgeous. I was racing at Clonmel yesterday and just lovely winter into spring vibe, nice crowds. And it's just nice weather before Cheltenham as well. So I think we're going to get good old-fashioned Cheltenham good soft.
Yeah, soft ground at the moment, but expected to dry out over the next couple of weeks. So recording the show just a week out from Cheltenham, just over a week, and things will change. But we got a handle on most things, the going, as I said, soft. But who knows what we're going to get from Tuesday, the 11th of March. Generally, if we get good weather, the ground does dry out at Cheltenham pretty quickly. The race course should be commended, as should Skybet, for agreeing to rename the opening race of the festival, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, the Michael O'Sullivan Supreme Novices Hurdle, a fitting tribute to the late jockey who rode Marine Nationale to win the race, Johnny, 2 years ago.
Yeah, one of the horses I'm tipping tomorrow running at Kelso happens to be Michael's last winner. It's this was announced yesterday. I was actually at the races whilst it was announced, and I spoke to Tiernan Power Roach after he'd a double on Monday, and it's very raw with the jockeys, you can, and understandably. And I actually got a lift from Sarah, who works at Mallow Racecourse and other racecourses. She's a familiar face around the Southern Circuit. She picked me up kind of on the, she saw me walking towards the track yesterday and picked me up. But she was telling me she was at Thurles that day, and it's really affected people. This has really affected people. And for Michael's family to agree with the organ donation and to come up with the strength to move on to the extent that they can honour him in the Supreme Novice Hurdle, the race he won with Marine Nationale, is just fitting. It's going to be a tough day for a lot of people. It's almost written in the stars that William Money will win the race for Barry Connell in those colours, I think, and I'll definitely be cheering him on regardless of what bet I have in the race. It's just a beautiful thing to happen. I thought he might be honoured in some way at Cheltenham, and this is the best way, I think.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you. What you see is the narratives from a racing perspective for the festival this year. I suppose Galopin de Chance going for the Gold Cup hat-trick. You've got the Irish-British rivalry. You've got the fact that the festival, maybe people fell out a bit of a love with it in the last few years and they're trying to get back in love with it again.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole sadness around Michael, I think, won't that will be felt at Cheltenham. Like, the Irish people will go over, an awful lot of people knew Michael, knew the family, and I found it hard enough to move on to racing straight away afterwards, and I think this will be the Cheltenham that will be remembered of, as the one the year that Michael passed away. And notwithstanding that, JD, it does have challenges, Cheltenham, you know, and I've spoken to people where, you know, one of my first Cheltenhams, I remember the Racing Post, you know, the front page of the headline on that Tuesday was the greatest show on earth, and I couldn't agree more. It was just, I was absolutely buzzing for it. And maybe it is as you get older and so on, and sport changes in terms of getting older and what it means to you, but the dilution of Cheltenham and the fact that it's not as competitive, and some of the races just you know, I have no time for the mayor's races, really. And some of the races this year, I could kind of take or leave. And the crowds were down last year. There's a real cost of going to Cheltenham crisis. I do feel it needs, I think a good Cheltenham is almost needed this year. I think we should have it on day one, but you look into day three, it's kind of a bit meh. And I hope Cheltenham recovers a bit from last year, because last year for me was worryingly flat.
I think the Irish-British thing, I think the British home-based runners need a good year, and they might get it this year. It's been 18 winners the last 3 years. Like, the last 9 years of Cheltenham Festival has been Irish domination. No year since 2015 was the last time there's more British winners. So 8 and 9 and one tie in terms of Irish winners. 18 and 9 last year. 9 was Willie Mullins, so as well out of the 18. So we had, what, 2/3 of the winners last year? So therefore, that narrative's kind of gone. But if Nicky Henderson had a really unlucky year last year, if he gets back with Constitution Hill, with John Bond, with Lou Lamba, these kind of horses, that will form a bit of the narrative. I think the Gold Cup is a really big one. Only Golden Miller, Cottage Rake, Arkle, Best Mate, has 21 years since Best Mate won 3 Gold Cups. That's a big thing for Willie Mullins to try and do on the Friday. And then, look, hopefully the mayors, as you say, will turn up in this champion hurdle against Constitution Hill, Lossie Mouth, who I think will, and Brighter Days Ahead, and State Man. You want a proper race.
Absolutely want a proper race. I'm still, in the back of my mind, I'm still sort of thinking something will someone will reroute or something will go wrong with the four protagonists. But as it stands, and I have every reason to believe Willie Mullins that he wants to run Lossie Mouth,
yes,
Wattle Paul Town and ride. You know, it's an interesting one because State Man cannot win. I mean, there's nothing to suggest State Man can beat. He's reverse form with two horses to the tune of, he's, you know, the last couple of races he's had against Brighter Days Ahead, Constitution Hill, he's been beaten about 40 lengths by them combined. And maybe you could say he had off days and he doesn't necessarily form around Cheltenham. But if you're to have a match bet, State Man and Lossie Mouth, I'm not sure how you'd bet it, because Lossie Mouth was slight favourite in Leopardstown. But in terms of what can actually beat Constitution Hill, State Man has no chance. Like, realistically, he has to. The only way State Man can win is for others to disappoint. Whereas Lossie Mouth, she's still relatively unexposed. For all that, it's a tough one for Paul Townend, but you know that race. It's sad that the Arkle doesn't have Sergino, but the Supreme is every bit as good as the Supreme that you'd want, and the Champion Hurdle is a Champion Hurdle of the generations. It's an incredibly good Champion Hurdle, so we need that. As for the British runners, the narrative might change a bit in the sense that British prize money versus Irish looks better with every year, and in some respects they're honing in on the good races, whereas our prize money is slipping behind in pretty much every way. If you want to have a horse in Britain now, there are a lot of positives to doing that rather than having him in Ireland. And I was on a preview panel with Dennis O'Regan last night. I think he spoke very well about it. The Irish point-to-point horses that are extortionate, they don't go to Britain, they stay in Ireland. And that's one of the key reasons why Irish racing is dominating, because the British owners aren't really there. Or if they're there, they're only there for a small number of horses. And when they spend big on the likes of Caldwell Potter, that hasn't really worked out. But this year, Nicky Henderson has a very, very strong hand.
I do feel they're getting their act together. Every time I look at a Saturday race card, I see 40, 50 grand for a top race in the UK. I don't see that here.
No.
Unless it's like a Leopardstown or Punchestown Grade 1 or something, whereas you're going to generally have the same owners, the same horses. I do feel we've stood still a bit in prize money, and they've got their act together because they realised they were in trouble.
We haven't stood still, JD. We've actually gone backwards, because it's like I'm a freelance journalist, right? And I never get a wage increase, right? So basically,
sorry, Johnny.
Never, for good reason. But my wages are effectively in real terms going down every year, because, like, for example, I'm on the same money with the Racing Post I was for doing the League of Ireland column 20 years ago, right? And I can't get the same coffees for the same amount of money, and so on and so forth. And Irish racing prize money is going backwards. Even if it's standing still, it's going backwards, but it's actually gone down. The Cork National is way back in terms of prize money. For example, the graded races are down. There's a race tonight, JD, at Dundalk, as an example. We're recording this on the Friday. There's a race tonight where you have horses rated sort of around 100 rated horses running for around about 9 grand. That's not sustainable. And I do worry about the National Hunt sphere in Ireland going forward, where it's just not economically viable, and I think the British are getting it right in terms of their good races are worth a few quid.
We got 14 grade ones last year. 8 of them were won by favourites, which once again, a lot of those were odds on shots, which kind of made it a bit more predictable than people would have liked to Cheltenham last year.
There is one big difference this year to last year though. Nicky Henderson is here.
Yes.
And that's the key thing. Nicky just had a terrible time last year. Nicky's back, and that's fantastic for the festival.
Let's go through 13 grade ones then, Johnny, as we look ahead just over a week out from Cheltenham for the folks out there. So the Tuesday, you did mention the Champion Hurdle, Constitution Hill, Brighter Days Ahead, Lassie Mead, State Man. They might not all turn up. But Constitution Hill, what, 10 from 10 under rules. The ground is no issue. Damata State Man by 9 lengths 2 years ago. He's a fragile horse. But surely the only reason he can't win is him not being himself.
I tend to agree with that, unless Brighter Days Ahead has turned herself inside out this year, and given her age profile, maybe she's a lot better. Like I've literally backed this mare once, and that was at Cheltenham last year. But that is a bit of a concern for me. She was beaten in a muddling enough
Mare's Novice, Golden Knight.
Mare's Novice, yeah. Now, I'm not a fan of the mare's race, but to be fair, this was a good renewal of it. And maybe it was the way the race was run. With King of Kingsfield, they're not going to let that happen in the Champion Hurdle. I remember when Brave Inca, Hardy Eustace and Archibald were going for this race. How many years ago is that now? 18 maybe?
20.
Is it 20 years ago? Yeah.
2005.
I was thinking, sorry, 2005. That was a race, I think. I've never looked forward to a jumps race more. This is well up there. Now, but that year, I saw a solid bet in Brave Inca each way. I couldn't see him out the first three. I don't see a bet in this because, as you say, if Constitution Hill turns up, he's never been beaten, and he's never really looked like being beaten. I still have my doubts about the credibility of what she achieved at Leopardstown. It just doesn't add up at Christmas that she could do that, you know, a few weeks after beating State Man narrowly. King of Kingsfield will be there to ensure a good gallop, but that's going to absolutely play into the strengths of Constitution Hill as well.
State Man can't win. Good news for Gordon Elliott is that Jack Kennedy's back fit for the festival. The Supreme Novices Hurdle, Copec Desbordes, Salvatore Mundi, Romeo Coolio, Work Ahead, William Mullen towards the top of the market. So Copec Desbordes is odds on. The Ted Walsh comparison to Golden Signet was very interesting. Thrashed a good field at the Dublin Racing Festival for Paul Tannen and William Mullins. Once again, I think, look, the horse is inexperienced. Whether he's the best jumper remains to be seen. But the horse that beats Copec Desbordes should win this.
I'd imagine that's right, because he's odds on, and he's certainly long odds on finishing the first two. So whatever beats him should win. And, you know,
will he be beaten? If you're going to pick one against him, who would it be?
Yeah, it's a question of whether you want. I do feel there is ample opposition here. And he's, I was on a preview panel last night, and Richard Finnegan, who organised it, made a good point. He hasn't beaten any of these horses. He hasn't run against any of these horses. That's a good point. He has to prove that he's capable of beating horses of Romeo Coolio's stature, who's been extremely well regarded all his life. Salvador Mundi is a bit of a blank canvas. William Money, I felt William Money started to show what he could do last time when he beat it. He absolutely trounced a good field, like trounced him. Was that much inferior to what Copec Desbordes did at Leopardstown? I don't think it was, albeit it was only it was a much lesser race, but it was a novice race. But I thought that he looked like he was improving last time, and maybe it is written in the proverbial stars that William Money does it. Copec Desbordes is, he has to deal with all the, it's the first race of the festival, there'll be a lot of
hullabaloo.
A lot of hullabaloo. You know, everyone's in great form. The weather hopefully will be nice, and they'll be looking forward to the best Champion Hurdle in years. There will be some buzz for this race. It's the Supreme, and it's a small negative. Like, I wouldn't be confident laying him, but at the prices, I'd go with William Money. We spoke to Sam last week. He's been very well backed, but I'd probably go with him each way.
Don't discount Copec Desbordes making it in the style of, was it Classical Dream?
Yeah.
I think under Ruby Walsh a few years ago.
And Champion Fever, actually, who looked a horse I couldn't see, and he was well backed, and he looked a horse and wanted about 3 miles. Copec Desbordes looks like he could do any trip.
Arkle Chase, Smashborough, has got the engine of a Ferrari. He is the real deal. He won a hard Triumph Hurdle last year. He's still learning about jumping. That might be his biggest obstacle in the Arkle Chase, but he doesn't have Sergino for opposition. Is he a penalty kick?
I can't see any negative in him, and I suppose it's the one real negative of the festival that Sergino's injured. This would be, you can imagine the big three races on day, you know. But even so, we'll thank for what we have, and I feel his performance in the Triumph last year on the ground, given his inexperience, was absolutely exceptional. He's a fantastic horse to jump. I just don't see what beats him, Jiddy. If you wanted to bet in the race, I'd just put him into an ACCA or something like that. And I would implore the bookmakers, let's go back to the old days. Let's like invite people to get involved on the Tuesday. Let's take on these short price favourites. Certainly Copec de Bourdes is a horse that should be taken on at the prices. I wouldn't be taking on this guy, though.
The Mare's Hurdle. Let's just take Lassie Mouth and Brighter Days Ahead out of it. Golden Ace, will she stay? She might end up being in the Champion Hurdle for prize money. Don't know if she stays. July Flowers in there. Carghese needs to settle better. Jade de Grugy, Johnny, I think looks a good bet, to be honest. She won nicely at Punchestown. She'd come on for that. She would be better suited by this 2.5 miles than she was when she was fourth in the Mare's Novice last year. I always read stable tours and commons because you read between the lines, and I feel they really like this horse, the William Mullins yard. I think this is one of my bets in the meeting, Jade de Grugy in the Mare's Hurdle.
Yeah, and I suppose this is my problem with the race. Like, she was beaten four lengths behind Golden Ace in fourth last year in the Mare's Novice. Now, it was a good renewal of the race. That was a race in which Dice Ardenas obviously was a late scratch. And this year, she was good beating Mousy Brown the last day, and she looks like she's coming in good nick. But this race should be at the Punchestown. It should be somewhere in Ireland. There's no place for it. Even if you take the big two out, and please let them not run in this, it's just a race that doesn't float my boat, and it's a good advertisement for why the Mare's races don't really work. If they do show up, I'm going to actually, looking at the prices here now, I'm going to give Dice Ardenas one more chance because she was hotly fancied for this race last year. She did develop a problem. She has had problems, but she was third to Burnet Road in the Greywood when she was extremely well fancied off 131. That wasn't a bad run. Travel a little bit too fresh in the race. Fergal O'Brien is on the record as saying this is a race she's going for. She's William Hill's price here is 25-1, and there is 133-1 available as well if you can get it. But on her best form, she should be in the first three. So you're looking at her coming back to something like her best, and she is fragile, but if she turns up, I'd be very, very happy to back her each way.
On the Wednesday, the Champion Chase, the Queen Mother is the feature. John Bon, Gaelic Warrior, Marine Nationale, Solness, Hilé Francais, and Urgemin all declared. John Bon once again has won 12 of 14 starts over fences, second on the other two occasions. The Grand's not an issue. He can get buzzy, but he's got a lot of zest as well. Perhaps poor value at the prices, but I think he deserves it, but that doesn't mean he's going to win.
Yeah, I don't think he is at his best at Cheltenham. Like, you know, he's never really been hugely impressed with Cheltenham. Got absolutely floored in the Supreme Novice by a certain Constitution Hill. And he's an amazing record, this horse. You know, he's a brother to Duvan. He came along just after him. And, you know, at this level, for all that he's not a superstar, he's been exceptionally consistent. I just do worry about him. He's the type of horse I'd definitely be taking on as a bookmaker.
With what would you be taking on as a punter?
Well, there's a very interesting angle to it now, in that El Fabiol has been declared at Navan tomorrow, which is extraordinary stuff. I wasn't expecting that at all. Now, what for example, I'd be mad against him tomorrow over 2.5 miles in heavy ground, but if he turns up tomorrow, he's had a, forget about his season so far, he fell when he was seemingly well fancied, although I'm not sure he was at Leopardstown, but he was 2-9 in this race last year. He was 2-9. You couldn't see him beaten. People said in the preview nights beforehand, he's the type of horse you don't expect to fall, even though he does make mistakes. What would I go with each way here? I'd actually probably go with Marine Nationale, just because I think he is coming to hand. He won the Supreme. I liked his run at Leopardstown the last day. Big thing for him is conditions. He's going to get his conditions.
I agree with you. I think he's a spring horse. I think the sun is back, decent ground. I think he'll come to himself after the second.
And he definitely
second.
Likes Cheltenham.
Yeah, he'll come to himself after the second of the Dublin Racing Festival. I think the reason why I like him is because I think whoever's in it, I think they're going to cut each other's throats up front.
Mm.
You got John Bon, Hilé Francais, if runs in this, like, he'll go off at a massive clip. Solness, we know that they want to run him this way, where he's aggressive out in front and they're going to try and burn off his rivals. They're all sitting ducks to set up for something. That could be John Bon, but I think Marie Nationale each way is definitely one to watch. Gaelic Warrior, don't know if you can trust that horse. It was so impressive last year at the festival on soft ground in the Arkle, but flopped at Leopardstown last time out. And Nurgerman is now, 11 years of age, dual champion chase winner, knees cut in the ground, beaten up by John Bond last time. Maybe Hilé Francais is the one man of the field, but I think Marine Nationale each way for me.
Yeah, but as you say, Solness will run in this. Like, there's literally one way he's going to run. He's not going to be ridden any other way, and if Hilé Francais takes him on, that's well and good. Tactics are massive in races. Like, there was a horse at Clonmel yesterday, well back favourite in a 2 mile claimer. He'd no chance after two furlongs because he was taken on for the lead. He literally had no chance, and it's massive in this race. You know, with Marine National, and to be fair, John Bunn, you know, that it won't matter. Gaelic Warrior, he was very good in the Arca last year. I still have serious reservations about him. The one thing is, you're getting a far, far bigger price now, and he's the type of horse that could come alive and be backed on the day like last year.
Turner's Novices Hurdle on the Wednesday, Final Demand, the new line, the yellow clay, all in this one. Final Demand showed a strong turn of foot to win well at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival, yet to run on quick ground. The new line is 4 from 4 now, owned by JB McManus, possibly the best horse Dan Skelton's ever had. The Challow Hurdle winner at Newbury earlier in the season. The yellow clay, an improving type, probably his best display in the Lauders the last day. Didn't appear, though, to appreciate the hill for me in the bumper last year. Now, maybe that's because he was inexperienced and wants a trip, but this is not an easy one to work out for me.
No, and again, at that preview night last night, I think Dennis O'Regan's of the opinion that there's a bit of mind games between Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott as to who goes where in terms of this race and the Albert Bartlett. Like, being honest, there's no real need for a 3 mile novice race at the festival when you have this. You could run the 3 mile horses in this. I'm not mad on the Albert Bartlett for horses anyway, and I think this year's Albert Bartlett is going to be quite weak, but you could make a case for, if you got rid of the Albert Bartlett, you could just, this is a fairly tough race as it is, and it's not the Supreme. It's very different to that. And I mentioned Duvan earlier, and John Bunn, they were the only two horses from that dam, and they're still two of the best walk in the parks after all of these years. Final Demand might be the next big thing. He reminded me a lot of Demon at Leopardstown. He's a massive big stride on him. He's a beautiful looking horse. I thought that was an extraordinary performance. I was mad keen to take him on at Leopardstown on the basis that he just won a maiden hurdle. He absolutely demolished them. He's one of my bets of the week.
The Brown Advisory Novices Chase on the Wednesday, another grade one. Batty Byrne was the most impressive winner for me at the festival last year. I think if he settles in the race, he wins. He finished well to win at the Dublin Racing Festival last time. You got Dancing City in there, like a classic type for this race, like in that he jumps and he stays and he gallops. Better Days Ahead will love the hill as he did last year. But Batty Byrne should be winning this, Johnny, if they think he's a Gold Cup horse next year.
I'd agree on the face of it at Kempton. I was looking at my screen as a camera. Are we really getting 7-4 to back Ballyburn here in any sort of a race, you know, in what was a 2-horse race? And maybe Sergino is just an absolute freak. Whatever price he was in the exchanges, he was very, very easy to back that day. But if you look at his rating that day, he actually performed. Maybe Sergino probably is a complete freak, and he didn't look like he was really enjoying going right-handed on the day. His jumping wasn't that great. His jump at the last was real X-rated stuff, and he probably didn't run that badly in the circumstances. In beating Croke Park, I was at Kilbeggan when Croke Park was beaten about a dozen lengths in a bumper after costing nearly $500,000, and I said, like, what have they done here? He's thrived as a chaser. He's a very solid yardstick, and I love the way Ballyburn finished at Leopardstown. Going left-handed back at Cheltenham, I don't see any negatives. He should win.
The bumper is on the Wednesday, the final race. You got Game of Inches, Copacabana, Wind Beneath My Wings, Calypso Chance, Bambino Fever, all near the head of the market. This is always a race that has a lot of horses with untapped potential. It's not a race to be heavily involved in if you're a punter. Patrick Mullen's decision on who he rides, whether it's Copacabana or Game of Inches or something else, is going to be crucial. Bambino Fever, Jody Tannend will probably ride that. Ooh, horses that won last time out, folks, I think are important to follow in the bumper. And it could be even an unexposed horse. And don't be afraid of a Willie Mullins second string. Look, I don't know the answer. Do you know the answer?
I hope the answer involves Patrick Mullins, but he won't be riding the horse. So that's Calypso's Chance. And this is a really intriguing narrative for me in day two, that Patrick Mullins somehow rode the Gordon Elliott hot pot for this race. And he should have aligned to exactly what is required in relation to, is this horse from feel better than anything I've ridden for Willie Mullins? He beat Heads Up at Navan on the 15th of December. Doesn't seem that long ago, but it was late last year. He absolutely hacked up, and all his runs have been on yielding to soft, good to soft, nothing too hectic. He's by Mass Marvel, has a serious engine. There's no way this horse would be. He's available at William Hill 7-1. There's no way he'd be that price if he were trained by Willie Mullins. I don't really get it. I backed the two of us back Fernie Hollow getting the trumpet out in this race, and was it 2020?
This is my lucky race. I've never had the Stairs Hurdle winner, but this is my lucky race. I had Harry Motti in this.
Wow.
I had Dungweeb. I had, this, it was a Silver Concord.
Yeah, they were all like, backable prices. That's the thing about the bumper. You will, unless there's, if there's an absolute machine in it, sometimes there is, like Facile Vega and American Mike were very hyped that year. But these horses are not designed for bumpers. They're, and it can be a very messy race. So I'd be inclined to look at a bit of value. Now, Calypso's Chance is actually relatively at the head of the market, but he's 7 or 8 to 1. Like, this horse looks an absolute monster to me. Willie's horse is maybe the best one emerged last week, but
I don't know.
This would be one of my bets of the week.
Off the top of my head, I don't think Michael O'Leary's ever had the bumper winner at Cheltenham and the champion bumper.
Which is funny because he often goes home before the bumper if he's racing, even if he has a runner in it. He's no interest in bumpers. But Calypso's Chance is a massive chance here. He also has Jalon Dodares in the race.
Yeah, third last year. I can't have him again. On the Thursday, the Grade 1, we've got the Ryanair Chase. I mean, the problem with this one is you don't know who's going to run. Factophile, Protector Ash, Spillane's Terror. Can't have Protector at 10 years of age now. He must have soft ground. Just a horse I'd never be really warm to. Factophile, I thought, like last year, he was fine getting with the 3 miles in the Novice Chase, the Brown Advisory, but then he won the John Durkin, and then it looks like he has been fading over three, or not as effective over three as he might be over this trip. As Yellow is consistent, but if he's winning this, forget about it. As Bland's Terror might not even run, they might be minding him at 7 years of age. So, look, you have to see what turns up, I suppose.
Yeah, like Factophile smashed his rivals in the Novice race last year over the 3 miles, but he does have a tendency to be a bit out to his right. Now the betting to me suggests he'll run here, and I feel JP McManus might have one runner in the Gold Cup, Corbett's Cross, and I feel he might have let's be honest, like, it's very easy for these big name connections to figure stuff out, and he'll get a line from Willie Mullins' yard. There are any amount of people who can tell him, in their opinion, has Factophile any chance really of beating Galvin Deschamps? If no, so we might as well go for the Ryanair and hopefully win that. And then we can have Corbett's Cross, who, to be fair, was very good at Cheltenham last year, as a hopeful shout in the Gold Cup. I think that might happen. Spillane's Terror, I actually meant to ask Jimmy Mangan yesterday, but I think he's not going to run at all at Cheltenham. So this would be best left to Factophile. I do feel he'd be one of the bankers of the week if he runs.
Stars Hurdle, Tihupu, home by the Lee, lucky place. Tihupu won this last year, but seems skinny enough for me in the betting. I think he needs soft ground. What happens if it turns up good? Home by the Lee is 10 now, has won both of his starts this season, so it's form versus track form in the race, 6th and 3rd in the last two Stairs Hurdles. Lucky Place, very interesting for me, very interesting in that he's never raced over 3 miles, but he looks as though he'll relish it. He was 4th in last year in the Carl Cup, and the stable was out of form, Nicky Henderson's yard. He acts on all ground, he's won both of his starts this season. You've got the Wall Park, Rocky's Diamond in there, a lucky place for me each way, Johnny.
Yeah, I was kind of witching on Tioppo, but I think we were at Cheltenham last year when he won it, or Leopard Punchdown when he won a 5-6, and he probably does seem ground versatile. Still at even money though, I'd prefer to look elsewhere. Mystical Power, if he's declared, have a saver on him, because there's definitely a day in him over a stay in trip, I feel. But at the prices, given JJ Slevin, the way he spoke at a recent preview about Home by the Lee, I'm sure it's never been done to have a fourth go at this and win the race, which he's trying to do, but he's had excuses. I'd have him each way.
On the Friday, the Triumph Hurdle, East India Docks in there, Lulamba, Hello Neighbour, East India Dock, rated 90 in the flash. James Owen keeps saying Burdett Road is better. This horse, a course and distance winner, East India Dock, acts in all type of ground. Lulamba came from France, has done nothing wrong for him. Nicky Henderson winning his debut on good ground at Ascot. Hello Neighbour has done the same in winning two races for Gavin Cromwell this season. Needs to settle, but he's got a lot of speed. Lady Vega out on a horse you can't discount for Willie Mullins. What you like?
Well, I remember back in Hello Neighbour thinking, I remember specifically on WhatsApp texting people on the bus one day, I want to back this horse at 33 for the Triumph. So I'd put anything each way on this horse at 33 for the Triumph. And it's kind of worked out in that he's still unbeaten, but he's somehow third favourite because the British horses seem to be that strong. And maybe Lulamba is a complete freak, but I still like Hello Neighbour. Gavin Cromwell is definitely of the opinion that we haven't seen the best of him yet because he hasn't gotten a proper truly run race on nice ground and he's been a little bit fresh. We'll see that here. Chances are he'll probably fall a bit short, but I still like him each way.
Albert Bartlett, you don't like this race. Have you got a horse picked for it?
I have a great record in Albert Bartlett, funny enough. I just don't really, if I owned a horse, I wouldn't be mad in running him or her. And her is the key here because if Big Westerner runs, yeah, she looks a monster to me. And she'll be getting weight off the lads even though she's massive. I actually feel she'd be a great bet if she rocks up in this.
JetBlue is a course and distance winner in December, trained in France. Don't forget, folks, here, you got two massive price horses in William Mullins' yard. Fishery Lane and Sands Victorious. Sands Victorious 4th, Fishery Lane 5th, the bumper last year. I think they're 3 mile stay all day horses, and I wouldn't discount them in this race. If they turn up, Jasmine DeVoe as well might be in this one. Okay, the Gold Cup, is it
less pressure on his jumping over this trip?
Galopin des Champs, is it going to be history made?
Yeah, it's
only Banbridge, surely.
Yeah, and in fairness, as Brendan Duke said at a preview last night, we are talking about the King George winner against Gold Cup winner, so we shouldn't crab the race that much. And Banbridge, it's massive that this isn't heavy ground, because
or even soft.
Even like, it's massive. We really do need Banbridge in this race. Like, I maybe it's just me getting older, but I'm not that excited about the Gold Cup, because we've a very short price favourite. And after the John Durkin last year, when he was third behind the two McManus horses, you're like, when faster Slow was still on the scene, this is going to be an unbelievable year. Obviously, the three of them now, I don't think any of them is even going to run in the race. I know the way you're thinking is seemingly not going to run the race. So Galopin des Champs, I don't see any reason to oppose him.
Okay, Banbridge, ninth last year on soft in the Ryanair, but has won the Martin Pipe at the course on better ground. He's won over 2 miles. He will be able to travel if he has to have good ground. But Galopin des Champs, the key for me with him is they can now front run with him. And that takes the pressure off Paul Townend. He's one of the best horses of our generation. I'd love to see him win a third Gold Cup on the last day at Cheltenham.
One small thing, and I brought this up again last night when I sounded like an idiot saying, you know, when Liverpool played Man United, this is the easiest way to make 25% profit in 90 minutes. Of course, Liverpool did not beat Man United this year. If you think this is the easiest way to make a 50% profit, he is a racehorse. He's had a lot of very, very hard races, an exceptionally hard race at Cheltenham last year. He fell at the Cheltenham Festival, so things can go wrong. It's not a formality for all that I feel he should win.
One horse to maybe look at for the week, I'm going to go with Jay DeGrugy in the Mare's Hurdle.
Calypso's chance in the bumper.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Navan, Kelso and Doncaster and Johnny's charity bet as well, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
Hello, it's Owen Chaykin here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football, it's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.